Rick. I appreciate that. And we appreciated your hospitality last week. My kids had a great time getting to know you. My one son, who is the one who usually, it's a new social situation, new people. And usually it's one of those things of an arm bending for him. And we're driving home as the wind was blowing us back home last week. And he said, "Boy, this is a great group of people. It was fun." So we had fun being with you. This morning we're going to look at Romans 8. That wasn't the direction that I had originally was preparing for. Because of technology, I can carry around 10 years of sermons with me. And whenever I heard the reality of what had been happening over the last 24 hours in your church life and in your families, the Lord laid this on my heart. Some realities to what I was living through this past week as well that I'll share with you. But Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. A lot of times we jump to verse 28, which is a precious verse. And a lot of times when we're standing in lines at funeral homes, you'll hear Christians try to share that verse 28. But it's not quite yet there. This is before all things work together right here. These couple verses, and they're verses that I believe our hearts need to hear this morning, and our hearts need to be working through, and we need to be praying through these couple verses this morning. So I thank the Lord for his leading as we open up the word this morning this way. Verse 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray again together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to us this morning. We have hearts here before you this morning that need healing. Hearts that are in need of just your touch and to surround them, Lord. I think of Jennifer's family. I think of Tom and Sandy this morning. Just as Rick led us in prayer earlier, and what a precious time to stand as your people before the altar and just lean upon you. But we lean upon you now, and we ask that you would be with them during these days of such incredible grief. What they're dealing with now, Lord, you only know. And so we come before you and we ask for your touch to them. Lord, for Pastor Al and his family, we lift them up to you. Lord, we are leaning upon you. We're trusting along with that family. We're trusting you along with that church. Lord, we think of all the ones that are being affected by these calamities over the last 24 hours, and we just pray that you, Lord, would be their rock right now, as we've just sung about. Jesus, stand in that place for us. As you stood in that place for us on the cross, Lord, remind us of that this morning. But Lord, we just pray as we come to your word that you would again intercede and come and speak to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Saturday before yesterday, that would be a week ago from yesterday, I got a phone call from my cousin's husband, whom I knew. I did their wedding a number of years ago now. And I knew that he had a sister that had trouble. And as soon as I answered the phone, I knew what the request was going to be. His sister had overdosed on heroin and passed away after a long battle. And that story is told over and over and over again in our region, the terrible realities of that. And at that moment, the fact that he was a brother of this one that had passed, she was only 38 years old too. And to think of such a life snuffed out at that moment, it took me back to 1994 when I was at home and my dad called me and told me my own sister had died in a car accident that morning. And that news, when it comes down to us, it's way too hard for a human being to feel that kind of news. It's way too hard for a human being then to have to pass that news along. Because that was then given to me as a 19-year-old to call different ones and let them know what had happened to my sister Suzanne, who was only 22 years old at the time. And that is so difficult. Everybody's grief and everybody's processing of that is different. No matter what the counselors tell us, no matter what psychologists tell us, we all feel it a little differently. They give us somewhat of an idea, somewhat of a framework to go on, but truly we all deal with it differently. We deal with it differently, as many as there are. But you know what the great thing about it is? You're in the right place this morning. to come here and to stand with those who are suffering, to come here and to stand in the presence of God and let God do his work. Where there are no words that can truly provide comfort, there is a God who is the God of all peace and comfort. When I thought about what I could say at that funeral last week, it wasn't this text, but God gave me the theme of peace to preach on. People who had been battling for so long who needed God's peace. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring us peace. Especially in times that defy our explanation. As I said before, there's a lot of people that will jump to verse 28 in this passage, which is a precious passage of scripture, what comes after verse 28. But verses 26 and 27 give to us something that we need right now. The Spirit of God who intercedes. The Spirit of God who goes beyond our words. We try to think of something to be able to say. We want so badly to give a gift to one who is suffering, who has suffered incredible loss. But it doesn't exist. But the Spirit does. The Spirit makes sense to that one who comes to their soul. It confirms who we truly are. Look at verses 14 through 17, just above where we're reading there this morning. It says, "For we all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." We realize this by the Spirit. That he confirms with us the reality that we are his children. We are the children of God. In times like these, we need that to be confirmed again. Because the earth beneath our feet gets shaken by news like what we've heard. And yet God comes through again and says, "You're still my child." These families that are dealing with this news, these families that are dealing with this reality need to be told, you're still a child of God. And the Spirit of God can confirm that within them. Boy, do we need to hear that today. We need to realize that. The Spirit also is told to us that he helps us. John chapter 14, Jesus was saying this about the Spirit. He said, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." He goes on to say, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said." The helper. You see, we want so badly, as I said before, as human beings, we want so badly to give help, to give aid, to say something that's going to bring healing. The Spirit goes beyond that. The Spirit to your hearts this morning. To know. And we should be there. We should be present. I think that what you did this morning. I've been in a lot of churches that wouldn't be bold enough to come up here and stand with each other and pray. That says something about what God is already doing in your hearts. And what you want to do for the people that are hurting so bad this morning. Listen to the Spirit. Be attentive. Be certainly, as the scripture tells us, to be slow to speak, but be attentive to what the Spirit says and what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit wants to do in these families, in these ones. In John 15, Jesus said, then this is about the Spirit as well. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, "he will testify about me, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning." As Rick was saying, when life comes at us this way, we don't know how to handle it. It's life. Some of you have suffered loss. God doesn't just waste that on us, though. And we grieve. As I was saying before, my sister who died back in 1994, she knew Jesus. We know she's with the Lord. We know that for certain. Saw that testimony played out in front of us at a funeral home where we had no break in the line for 4 or 5 hours. We stood up there. People came up and talked about what
had happened there. But there's still moments where my older sister and my younger brother, where we sit down and we say, you know, there's this hole that's in our family. What we saw my mom and dad go through, two people who loved Jesus Christ, two people who had a baby boy die back in 1970 before I was born. And I think about it as I've had four children myself, how that just has to tear you apart. But yet I've also seen the Spirit of God do a healing work in them. And I've seen my own dad testify to people about the goodness of God despite incredible loss. You see, God doesn't waste that on us. And the Holy Spirit, if we trust in Him, that He brings us to moments to be able to truly testify and minister to people. Sometimes by just being present to them, showing that the Spirit-filled person is there with them. He knows our weaknesses. You know, that's what it says here in the verses. The same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. You know, in moments like these, we just say, Spirit, teach us to pray. Because I'm at an end to do that. This morning, as Dave began to relate to me, and then Rick related to me these situations in the church body. And I said, Lord, where I was preaching from in Acts, this isn't what you'd have for your people this morning. You need to speak to your people. Go past me. Go past my agenda. Whatever I was thinking earlier in the week, this is where you're at right now. You need to speak through your word. Show me in your word. And my heart went to Romans 8 here in these verses. And he just said, Lord, just to open that up. And like I said, through technology, the Lord brought my notes even back. Our weaknesses. When we're flying high in life sometimes, we miss what's going on around us. But even in those moments of weakness, the Spirit can overcome those things in us. When we are low, when we are so full of frustration or anger, when we are so weary from the journey, the Spirit is able to speak in those moments of weakness as well. In fact, Jesus himself, listen to what the words of Jesus. These are words to you this morning even. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who needs rest for their soul this morning? I think every one of us, even before maybe we even heard the news of the morning, we need that rest from Jesus. We try to carry these burdens of life upon our own back, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't get us very far, does it? We spin our wheels. And yet, with Jesus' invitation to us here, and when we come to the table this morning, I'm going to tell you these are verses to really meditate upon this morning as we take the elements even, that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Let Him give you rest. Let Him give you rest. This life will grind us to dirt very soon. But Jesus is wanting to lift us up and give us rest. Again, the verse there says to us in verse 26, we don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I'm not going to take a survey this morning, but how many of you felt that way this morning when you heard that news? How many of you felt that way this morning? There's not words for it. There's not words, but yet the Spirit is able to do that work on our behalf. Is able to pick up that load on our behalf, is able to utter these words. The pain can be way too much. As I looked around at that funeral home setting there this past week, the pain was so great on people's faces, and they needed the peace of Jesus Christ. Whether they took Jesus up at His offer or not, I don't know. But to give to them that and say, this is what you need. You need the peace. You need this incredible healing and release from Jesus Himself that He gives to us. God knows our heart. Look at verse 27. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That song this morning, Wednesday morning after that service, and I came home and I told my wife, I said, this is so heavy. this whole issue of heroin, but to see a family that was so impacted by it, it's too much. There are too many families just being just torn apart everywhere before our eyes through tragedy like this. That song, It Is Well With My Soul, is my dad's favorite hymn. His absolute favorite hymn. I can hear him singing tenor every time I sing that song in church. And I was thinking, you know, I ought to pick up my guitar and bring it in and sing that song. And I was singing that song. I'm riding a forklift at work, and I'm singing that song to myself. And, you know, I don't know if people see me doing strange things like that or not, but just worshiping the Lord, singing that song. And to come in this morning, and that was the first song. And I say, Spirit, you are speaking. You are working. You're at work. Way before I knew any of us knew what we would come to worship this morning and find. Way before that, in the midst of the struggles, it is well with my soul to go back to them and know that the story of that hymn is about a father who lost two daughters and just the tragedy of it, but yet to be able to write those words, to be able to sing those words, to be able to worship God with those words, to know that there is his incredible hope that he does for us. He knows our hearts. He is interceding. Notice that. The status of us, as we read before about the fact that we are no longer slaves, we're not in this, we're adopted as sons and as daughters. And then he goes on to say here in verse 27, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints. You know who the saints are? They're not a team in New Orleans. They're not the ones who come marching in necessarily. Well, we may be marching in someday as the Lord promises us. You're a saint. If you know Jesus Christ, you are one of the saints. Notice this about Scripture, though. When it talks about saints, it doesn't talk about it in the singular sense. It always talks about us together. It always does that. God intercedes for you. That is a powerful moment here this morning for us to enter into. Then in the midst of it, we say, nobody cares and nobody knows. That is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because your God intercedes for you. He stands at the right hand, as we've sang this morning. My Savior stands at the right hand. That's your God. That's our God. He intercedes for you. In the moments of greatest frustration, the moments of greatest anger, in the moments of the greatest grief, he is there standing, interceding for you and for me. And it's a good thing. What a wonderful thing. He knows what the will of God is. We struggle at times to know what the will of God, but he knows because he is God. And he is working these things out together, as we would read on there. We don't know the answers to the whys in life, but our Lord does. He knows what we should be involved in. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, it says these things. We've been in 1 John quite a bit over the past few weeks. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. John, in his trademark style there, gives us very few words to express something, but that we come before God and we ask him for his will. As we pray for Pastor Al, and we pray for his family right now. As we pray for Tom and his family right now. As we stand with them in prayer, we know it's the will of God for us to pray for them. Number one, we may not know the words in which to say, but we rely upon the Spirit that he would give us the words to say, that he would utter what we're believing for these ones even. He gives that to us. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? This is our God. We sometimes try to equate him with us. You know, you probably have noticed this in your job, maybe even in your home. When somebody has certain tendencies, certain directions, they'll impose those upon you. You know, your boss may have done that. Some of you are smirking like that has happened to you. You know, your boss has a certain tendency to stretch the time clock, and so he anticipates that's what you're going to do, as an example. Or maybe they have a propensity to steal, and so they think that everybody else is stealing. And there's their guilty conscience kind of goes that direction. Well, sometimes we project that. We make God in our own image rather than realizing that he has made us in his image. And that's what Jesus is trying to remind us of there, is the fact that this is how good your God is. Look at how good he is. Look at how good. As we take these elements this morning, look at how good your God is. Look at how good he is. And it's in moments like these we have to be reminded again. That's why God's timing for us to take communion this morning. God is still good. In the midst of difficulty, God is still good. God still has our best interest in mind, even in moments where it just does not make sense. In Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9, it said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And listen to what he says next. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Those last couple verses, the night after my sister died, those were verses the Lord gave to me. Because I was thinking, somebody so healthy, somebody with so much to offer, somebody who knew Jesus Christ, she had an education degree, she'd just gotten out, she had so much to offer, and I said, Lord, this seems like such an injustice here. I don't understand. And I went back to these and I see, here's God. His ways are so much higher than mine. And I know all these years since that's taken place, and I don't know how time passes in eternity. I don't know how there's been different people that have tried to dissect that and break it down for us. Try to tell us that you don't even know how long it's been. Once you step into the eternity, step into the presence, physical presence of God himself, what is it like? But since 1994, I know my sister Suzanne has been in the presence of God in those moments. And I don't know, I think of the people she could have impacted, but I knew the people she had impacted. Because we stood there in that funeral line and we went through, and as difficult as it was, she was to be married the next summer. There was so much that was there at her doorstep. So many things that didn't make sense, and yet what the Lord tells us is our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts and his ways are so much higher than ours. To be able to trust in him, to be able to know that we don't have the words, but yet the Spirit knows our deepest groanings. Friends, cling to him today. Cling to Jesus today. Cling to the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to give to you what it is that you should do for these families today. Because you're going to be called upon to do that in these coming days, whatever it may be. And you say, well, it's just prayer. That is so incredibly powerful. These moments that you spent up here were not just an exercise this morning. It was standing before your God and calling out, crying out to him on behalf of those whose hearts are breaking right now. See, in your moments to pray. There may be other times when you have opportunity to minister some other way. God's going to open up the door to you to do that. Do that. Be obedient to him. Be obedient to him this week. Listen to him. Let the Spirit intercede. Let the Spirit intercede this morning and take those steps. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to pray that way and really give yourself as the Lord opens the door to us, to himself? Let's pray again together. Father, it is beyond words the grief that is experienced by those here this morning. It is beyond words the struggle that's going on for Pastor Al right now. And we do, again, just lift him up to you. Lord, I lift up to you each one of these ones here this morning, though. Their hearts are deeply affected by the trouble that they've witnessed in the lives of these ones they love so much. Father, we're going to come to your table here, Jesus, this table that you've given to us. A table, Lord, that doesn't distance us. Lord, as you call us to the table, you bring us close to yourself. Sometimes people have felt a distance from you because of the table. Lord, that is not the case. You're a God who says to come. Jesus, you've said come. Come unto you. Lord, we're coming to you. Lord, I pray that your people would be met here this morning by your Spirit. That the healing work that we're calling upon you for, Lord, you would do, be so incredibly faithful to do. Thank you, Lord, for your servants. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts. Lord, may we be obedient in the moments and the days ahead to truly reach out and do what you're calling us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Dave and Joe come and we prepare hearts for communion this morning, to be remembering that, the fact that Jesus has invited us to come. Jesus has invited us to come to his table. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, these elements are for you. They're for us to take and to remember. That's what Jesus calls us to do. It's a command for us to do this in remembrance to him. Remembrance of what he has done already. Remember this as well, that because of what he has done, you have a future in eternity. To be remembering that this morning, as we take these elements that remind us of the work upon the cross, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin and for our eternal life, let's join our hearts together this morning to take this communion. Joe, would you ask?